Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're talking with Jamie Hay about a record-breaking relay to help battle climate change. It's a hell of a relay, Jane, isn't it?
It's a proper relay.
Undertaking. Yeah. 18 countries.
I couldn't organise a relay around my local area, let alone, it's 40, how many days? 46?
38 days.
Incredible.
Yeah. Incredible. An amazing message. And I think, it is very inspiring. So Jamie's on in a second. Oh, I don't know if you know, but the London Marathon happened on the weekend.
Kind of a big deal, isn't it?
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal in London. Just starting with the elite. So in the men's race, Kenya's Amos Kipruto won in a time of 2:04:39. I think the more amazing story is probably in the women's race with Ethiopia's Yelimzer Fihalo, who backed up an incredible marathon debut earlier this year by blowing apart the field at mile 24 to win in a time of 2:17:25. And I think her mile at mile 24 something like 4 minutes 43. Just throwing that
just
down.
Just incredible.
Insane,
incredible,
isn't it?
Running. And ex-Runner's World podcast guest Rose Harvey, number 10.
Oh, yeah.
First 10 Brit. Overall, wasn't she? But first Brit.
Yeah. Yeah, just an amazing story, that, isn't it?
Just sort of...
Amazing, yeah. Like, I think her first marathons were like in 3 hours something. So obviously like a very good time, but like we're talking like, you know, somebody who's gone from being a good club runner to being, you know, one of the shining stars of British distance running.
Just
it's incredible.
Love
her. Shows what can be done.
Go and listen to her episode if you haven't, listeners. She's great.
Yeah, she is great. You were out on the course, Jane. What did you see?
I was at that that mile just before mile 25. No.
Okay.
Just around the mile 25 mark, where I feel like you enter a part of London that I've never been able to find again. Do you know what I mean? When you're coming up to Big Ben and then suddenly you're in Green Park and you're like, how did I get here? So I was at that bit, that part of the marathon where people really question what they're doing and why. Mm. It was great. I haven't been to just cheer a marathon in a long time. And it was I cried. I loved it. I loved every single second of it. But how about you?
Agreed.
Where were you?
I moved around a bit. So I had a bizarre start this morning. So I spoke with BBC Radio London
humble brag.
Which was nice, actually. just me on the radio again. But it was on top of, it was like on the Cutty Sark, like on the boat.
Okay.
Like on the main deck. So I was like up on
the
main deck.
Oh, you were on the boat?
I was actually on the boat. And it's an amazing view. Like you know, I had like sort of vantage point of looking down at like, because the runners like, it's around mile 6 or 7, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it goes around the boat. And I was like, oh, this is incredible. But then after about an hour, I was like, this is incredible, but I'm actually sort of on my own here.
Oh, you were just you on the boat?
Well, there was like the radio team, but I didn't really have any mates. So I was kind of I was like, as kind of quirky as this is, like the marathon happens on the street, do you know what I mean? In every sense. And I'm just sort of up here looking down. And I left the ship at that point, and I went to mile 23, and it was quite funny because at mile 6, everyone running through Cutty Sark looks brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. And they're having the time of their life. And I was like, sign me up for a marathon. But I think you should almost have to go to mile 20 something before signing up for a marathon, because that shows you the reality of the race, where you're like, this is actually what the marathon becomes. So it's not all going to be like mile 6. So it was good to get both perspectives of it.
Yeah, just the best day. London on marathon day is something else. And hopefully in April. And Andy Dixon, he did all right, didn't he? Runner's yeah, World, Runner's World Zone.
Yeah, 3:33, I think. I think that's what he went for. Pretty even splits. So yeah, I think he'll be pretty happy with that. And then Joe Mackey, who is a deputy editor, he ran Berlin and then he ran London on Sunday. Yeah, he's sort of pacing his mate around London. He said it was very enjoyable, but there you go. Yeah, it was a it was great. Great to be seeing it again. And congratulations to everyone who took part.
Guest of the week. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
So we're joined today by Jamie Hay, the co-founder of Running Out of Time Relay. So Jamie, welcome to the Runners World Podcast. Great to have you on.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, lovely to be here.
Can we start then just by letting our listeners know, what is the Running Out of Time Relay all about and what's it trying to achieve?
Yeah, sure. So the Running Out of Time Relay is a 7,767-kilometre non-stop relay from Glasgow, Scotland, to Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. And the reason for those two locations is that Glasgow is the host city of COP26, and Sharm el-Sheikh is the host city of COP27. And so this is a relay that is... has a baton which contains a message on climate action, and we are, yeah, as I say, running 24 hours a day for 38 days. I should say running, cycling and sailing, and the whole aim is to get this baton from A to B without the use of fossil fuels.
Wow. And I mean, Rick, we've tried to organize some Runners World relays in our time. I say we, you have. Yeah. How does that work? How hard is that to organise? Because we couldn't do it around the M25, let alone... Like, what? Did you just look at a map? How did you do that?
Yeah, well, we started doing these relays in 2013, actually, as a reaction to the Boston Marathon bombings. So my friend Danny and I, we saw what had taken place there and wanted to do something as a kind of act of solidarity. So we organised a non-stop relay from Los Angeles to Boston. And that's kind of where we got the bug for it. You know, the relays are a great way of having lots of people take part whilst everyone still feels like they've got their own moment within it. And it's a great way to unite people behind a common cause and mission. So it's been a lot of fun. So we've been doing them for, say 9 years. This is by far, this is a different ball game. You know, this is by far the most complex that we've ever had to do. Multiple, we go to 18 countries, multiple languages, cultures, geopolitics. It's taken, I think, about 9 months of planning to get to this point.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And where is the relay currently? It's because it sort of started on Friday, right? Is that right?
Yeah, we launched in Glasgow on Friday from Sunnyside Primary School. So they were great. They stepped in at the last minute. We were due to have 2,500 kids launch on Glasgow Green, but unfortunately it was torrential rain, 45 mile an hour winds, and we thought, you know, we'll have kids blown halfway to Orkney if we do that. So we had to unfortunately cancel 24 hours before. We were due to take part in Glasgow Green, so we Sunnyside stepped in. The three of the children there came up with the message in the baton, which is really lovely. And then so they ran through the sports hall with all their friends, sort of cheering them on as the sort of, to symbolise the start of the relay. And from there we've been down through to Carlisle, then down to Liverpool last night, and I think currently it's somewhere around. By the end of today, it's around Nottingham area. It's live on our website. There's a GPS tracker in the baton. If you go to the website, it's runningoutoftime.com, but with hyphens between the words, /map, and you can see the baton in real time.
Brilliant. That's like the ultimate map. Dot watching that, Jay-Z. You could be dot watching for over a month.
And what is the message in the baton? Is it a physical baton that you're going to open? Like, or can people read the message, or is it a secret? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so the messages on the website were encouraging people to go on and sort of show their support for it. So I think about 250,000 people have now done that, which is really exciting. The message is calling for quality climate education for all. And it's really focused around providing, you know, the funding, policies, training needed for young people and teachers. So, yeah, the kids did an amazing job of coming up with it. And so that is on a scroll that's inside part of the baton. So it's English one side, Arabic on the other. And it won't get opened until we get to Egypt, where a school in Sharm el-Sheikh is going to read it out to world leaders.
Wow. So it's pretty powerful, isn't it? So can we talk about some of the run routes? Because it goes through 18 countries, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably there's sort of mountain ranges, deserts. Let's talk about some of the terrain. What's some of the highlights or maybe the most challenging parts on route?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we go... I mean, where do we start? So a lot of it's challenging. We go over the Austrian-Italian Alps. So that's at the top of there. We're looking at a glacier that's basically sort of being destroyed by the rate of global warming. So that's a really challenging but also beautiful part. We go down to Venice. We go across a lot of the Balkans countries. We've got sort of quite desert terrain in the southern part of Israel in the Sinai. So yeah, it's we've got, you know, from forests to glaciers to deserts. We are sailing across the Channel. We're sailing across the Mediterranean. So yeah, it's a bit of everything really.
I'd rather have the Mediterranean bit personally. And what did you find all these runners, or are people volunteering, or can people join in?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So no, right now, anyone listening can, you know, go to the website, see where it is, see what stages are left, and if they'd like to join one. And it is, yeah, it's open to just the general public. So we've got, I think, 736 individual stages. Most are about 10 kilometres long, but they do vary. And anyone sort of in the area can just go on and join a stage, and more than one person can do a stage. So it's yeah, it's been amazing. I think the thing that always astounds me with when we've done these relays is you know, you've got people who turn up at 2 a.m. you know, on a Wednesday and in the middle of nowhere, and they will, you know, have put their faith in us and all the runners before them that you know, are working to get that baton to them. And then for their 10 kilometers, they know that all the runners yet to come are relying on them to complete their stage. So you've got this great kind of sense of jeopardy with it as well, that if any single one of these people doesn't show up, then the whole thing falls apart. So it really is, you know, requires real collaboration, unity, to make it happen.
You're sat in a lovely house on a sofa. You're not on the relay now. Are you joining any bits of the relay?
Yeah, so I was with it for the first few days. Then I came back home, and I'm running on Wednesday and then rejoining it Friday, where we're in the Reading area, through to the Saturday and Sunday. So on Saturday the 8th, we're in London, and then we run down to Dover. So yeah, joining bits and bobs. We've got a support crew that are a team of four. They follow the entire thing. So they're the dream team. We've got Emily, Mike, Abby and James. They've all got, you know, a specific role in that car. So that they play a vital part of getting this thing from A to B.
Have you had any famous runners, well-known runners sign up to take part?
Yeah, so we had... Jasmine Paris took some of the late night stages. Damien Hall's taking part later on, but it's been a real mix from from kids to presidents taking part. So we've got, I think, the president of Slovenia taking part, prime minister of Cyprus. So it's been fascinating sort of seeing all these people just discover it and want to help move it along.
And the idea of, so the back to the message, the idea is we educate kids about climate change and we teach more about climate change in schools.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, there's so many countries that are doing so much in terms of the curriculum. I think the big challenge that we've got is that you know, young people are not necessarily often put at the forefront of the conversation around climate change. So that's a really important aspect of it. You know, climate change is going to affect them more than anyone. So they'll have to live with it longer than us. And so it's really sort of looking at how, you know, we can put in place a consistent educational kind of curriculum for all countries to have the proper funding and policy changes that need to take place to support that. So one of the things that we're striving to do is when we get to Egypt, you know, we'll have visited hundreds of schools, we'll have visiting over 100 climate action projects along the way as well. So we're kind of celebrating all the work that these amazing people are doing and these amazing schools are doing, and then arriving in Egypt in a way that we're hoping world leaders can't ignore. You know, this is a 38-day non-stop challenge where we've taken this message from Glasgow to Egypt, so that hopefully they will want to listen to it and respect what's been done. And then during COP, we're showcasing it within the pavilions. And we've also got an event on the 14th of November, which one of our partners, FEE and UNESCO, are hosting. So they'll use the baton to kind of tell that story and hopefully get as many world leaders in that room as possible to make some real change happen.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why do you think the relays are a powerful symbol or can convey a powerful message?
I think so. I think it's it is powerful when you, you know, I ran a stage, the fifth stage, so it's quite early on. But, you know, when you're running that stage, you kind of realise the weight of expectation on your shoulders. You know, you're carrying this symbol that, you know, so many other people are waiting to hold, or so many people have you know, put the literal sweat and tears into to getting it to you. And so, you know, you understand that people have run through the night to make sure this baton reaches your stage. And as I said earlier, it's kind of this feeling of togetherness and kind of unity that, you know, you're kind of bonded by this thing in a weird way. And so I think that has fantastic power. You know, I love taking part in running events, but you know, in them I'm sort of one of many, whereas, you know, with this event, you know, you do have that special moment where you are at the heart of it, which is, I think, is really unique.
And why running? Because obviously when you're crossing the channel, when we say sailing, do you mean you're not like are you rowing a boat? Like, yeah. Well, you know, is it, or are you just jumping on like a cruise?
No. So yeah, the whole, the baton never gets moved by fossil fuels. So
right.
When we get to Dover, we're actually going to then cycle to Folkestone, where Folkestone Rowing Club are going to row it out to Conrad Coleman. So Conrad owns a he's a racing sailor, and I'm not in the boating world, so I've probably butchered that phrase. But he's offered to take one of the crew. So we'll row one of the crew out to his boat, because his boat couldn't be docked because it's the sort of sense you can't have your sail up at Dover Port, so he has to stay out in the waters. We're going to row the baton with one of the sport crew out to him. They might have to swim a couple of meters out to his boat and then get in the boat. He will sail it to Calais, and then we'll do the same the other side, where it'll then get rowed into Calais Port. And then when we get to Athens, we've a trimaran that the crew will jump on. And this trimaran is a racing trimaran. It's one of the fastest sailboats on the planet. So they'll be sailed to Cyprus, and then from there they'll run a bit of Cyprus, and then later that day they'll be back on the boat sailing from Cyprus to Israel.
And wow. Why running? Like, you could have cycled this, I guess, in 20 days, not 40 or something. But why yeah, running? Yeah. Why do you think that's important?
Yeah, it's important to us as organisers. You know, we love running. It's, you know, I think the combination's quite nice. We do have some cycling within it. It literally wouldn't be possible to get from A to B in the time needed. But yeah, I think there's something really special about running in terms of that. You also get a lot more people involved. So by having the 10-kilometre stages, if we'd cycled it, you know, you'd find that you could have one cyclist that could do a whole, you know, cycle for half a day. So it brings a certain amount of, pain involved in terms of, you know, that, you know, sort of blood, sweat and tears that goes into the running side. It's always been a part of everything we've done. This is actually the first event where we are introducing a little bit of cycling. So historically, it's always been running for us.
Were there any parts of the relay, any legs that were hardest to fill? I'm thinking like the Cyprus leg. That sounds pretty good. I bet that was like a bun fight for Cyprus. But like, was like 2 a.m. wolf infested part of Europe, was there anyone that was like particularly hard to get people to do it?
Well, that's great. So there's still stages available, so you know, in Montenegro and Albania, we're working to like recruit people out there. In the UK, Wales has actually been quite challenging a little bit. So we've got some stages that took a long time to fill just above Swansea. I think part of it is the time, you know, not many people want to get up at 1 or 2 in the morning. And especially what we found with these relays is there's a kind of psychology to the sign up process. So no one really wants to put their name, be the first name on the sheet when they've no idea if anyone's for 30 miles either side is going to be able to bring the baton to them, or if they've got anyone to pass it to. So you find there's kind of, it just builds real momentum as people kind of put their faith in it and put their name down for a stage in the middle of nowhere. And then you see it fill up either side of them.
What happens if it doesn't fill up? Is that the support team, those four
Jamie's getting back out there.
Yeah. I'm off to Swansea. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the way it's been working. We've not had anyone drop out that we've not been able to replace so far. That's always the worry, is that someone will drop out last minute. So we, in that scenario, is a case of, so yesterday we did have a dropout where it was in Widnes to Warrington, and so everyone was on Sunday after lunchtime on the phone to every running club within about a 20 mile radius, trying to get hold of stalking people on Instagram, finding runners, and just ringing around everyone we could. And thankfully a guy called Mark stepped forward and filled the gap for us. But that tends to be how it works. You know, we try and just lean into the communities in the area, try and see if someone will take it. And then worst case is that the support crew step in.
Other than getting the baton safely to Egypt, what would kind of qualify as success for this? What do you want to kind of, what would you love to come out of this relay?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. The the policies that some of the partners are they're asking for, and the things that they want to change are real measurable things. So, you know, in 6 months' time, you know, hopefully we can look back on it and say, yes, we got this bat into Egypt, but and as well as that, it made real change happen, so that, you know, the education of tens of millions of children has now been changed. That would be really cool. There's a documentary being made of the project. So, you know, as people participate, they might notice the documentary team at different stages. Inside the car, we've got James Laval, who's a filmmaker. He's done work with National Geographic and Discovery Channel. So he's following the whole journey. And we're working with a production company called Redwood, who are producing a documentary. So, you know, at some point next year, that will be released, and hopefully that will have a really important impact as well, and a bit of legacy to it. So, yeah, I think those are kind of two of the things that would be great to see happen. But yeah, right now, I'll just be happy for it to get to Egypt.
Yeah. Joe, thanks so much for coming on the Runners World podcast, talking about the Running Out of Time Relay. If people want to find out more about it, let us know. Can you let us know the website again just now?
Yeah, it's running-out-of-time.com. We're on social media at Climate Relay. So I really encourage people to go and check it out. It's we're posting live sort of every few minutes from what's happening on the road. And and hopefully those listening, if you're interested, we'd love you to be a part of it.
Great. Jamie, thanks again for your time. That's brilliant.
Very welcome. Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Jamie Hay, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can once again subscribe to 3 issues of Runners World for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this offer. And don't forget, you can listen to the Runners World UK podcast on Acast, iTunes, all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runners World UK and please do subscribe. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.